Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture today is a portion, a small portion actually, of the Joseph story. So we begin in Genesis. It is the 37th chapter. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8, 17 through 22, 26 through 34, and then we're going to skip a whole bunch of Joseph and end with 15 through 21. Listen now for God's word to you. Now, Israel, remember, we had a name change. So that is actually Joseph's father has a new name when he wrestled with God, or somebody that was supposed to be God. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was a son of his old age. And he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than they all the other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I dreamed. There you were, binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. The man said, "This has gone away, for now, for I hear them say, 'Let us go to Dorth.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dorth. They saw him from a distance, and as he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben, one of the brothers, heard it, he delivered his out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hands on him, that he might be rescued out of this land and restored to his," thinking that he might be rescued out of hand and restored to his father. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is this if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and then lay our hand on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And the brothers agreed. And some Mennonite traders came by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. But Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where can I turn?" Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They had an ornamented robe taken to their father, and they said, "This is what we found. We now see whether it is your son's robe or not. He recognized it and he said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put on sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son for many days. Realizing that their father's, we're now moving to chapter 50. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crimes of your brother and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crimes of the servant of God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke. Then his brothers also wept and fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to harm me, God intends it for good in order to preserve a numerous people. And as he is doing today, so have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So have you noticed families can be messy? Anybody want to admit they have a messy family? Yeah. You know, those TV images that we get from Leave It to Beaver, that's way beyond some of my young time. But it was an idealistic family. It looked perfect. Not many of us can say that's what we had growing up. And today, our story is about a really messy family. Joseph's family was really messy. And yet, I am struck by the fact that at the end, Joseph, even when his brothers are bowing down to him, reminds them that he is not God, and his intent is to build bridges between his brother and himself. So in today's text, we have sibling rivalry that comes close to murder. And it sets in motion a chain of events that curves through the rest of the book of Genesis. Indeed, the events of this text will impact the rest of the story of the Israelites as they leave the promised land at the end of Genesis to settle in Egypt. We were introduced to Joseph as a young man at 17. He is the favorite son of his father Jacob, whom, if you know from history, should not really be playing the game of favorites. Remember, he and his twin brother in a birthright? Yet, Joseph is the first son of Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. The text calls Joseph a son of his old age. You might recall that Jacob somehow marries his beloved Rachel's sister, older sister, Leah, before he marries Rachel. There was a bit of a messy family situation there. And then he has to work for 7 more years until he can marry his beloved Rachel. So we hear about this son of old age. Jacob gives Joseph a special coat. Traditionally, it's been translated a coat of many colors. The Hebrew term is probably much closer to the fact that it was a coat with long sleeves. Huh. Or perhaps it had ornaments on the coat. This motif of a younger son being the beloved son and the resilient family strife is a favorite among Genesis stories. If you think about it, it begins with the murder of Abel by his older brother, Cain. It continues with the stories of Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, and in each case, the younger son is shown favor by God and or by a parent. But that favor, that election, leads to great hardship and even death of the younger son. The same will be true for Joseph. So Joseph portrays himself as a young man. As we read the text, we can assume maybe he's lacking a little bit in common sense. Perhaps he's a bit self-absorbed. He has two different dreams with the same message, that he will become outstanding in his family, and his brothers and even his parents will bow down to him. He's seemingly unaware of his brother's feelings for him, and he eagerly shares the dreams with everyone. Our text says they hated him because of the dreams and because he insisted on talking about them. You know what happens next. His father sends him out to check on his brothers. The brothers can see him coming from afar, and they come up with a scheme. They start by wanting to just kill him. Older brother Reuben persuades them to do otherwise. They start by stripping Joseph of that fancy coat and throwing him into an empty well or pit. And this is the first of several, like, literal and metaphorical descents and ascents of Joseph that we'll make in this story. So he's drawn out of the pit, and he's taken away down to Egypt and sold into slavery. Now, the fact of the matter is, you know, even jerks don't deserve to be thrown into pits and die. Recently, there has been a cultural tendency to justify violence because we feel a certain way. Mary Lynn Robinson, the author of Gilead, and among other novels, and also a first-rate theologian, notes in an essay in the New York Review of Books how fear dictates and indeed justifies much of our worst behavior. It has been offered in recent years as supposedly sufficient justification for things like shooting people. In Joseph's story, it's hatred, stroked by fear of being displaced in their father's affections, that motivates them to act, and the results this way. And that makes me wonder about messy families and why we act the way we do in this age and time. It seems to me that most recently, fear has divided families. Families have been messy from the very beginning. Joseph had a messy family. Most of us had some messiness on the family. But our scripture today calls us to do something different. Instead of not sitting at family tables anymore, for many of us, Thanksgiving dinner has begun to change, and no longer everybody is at the table because it's just too hard. God calls us to build bridges, knowing that not all bridges are going to work. That's my little warning, my friends. As many bridges as you want to build, not all of them will work. But we're still called to build bridges. And I'm reminded that sometimes when we build bridges, that leads to even more connections than we originally intended. This season of election is upon us. Election day is right around the corner. And it seems to me these messy families seem to get louder and more intense right now. So I'm asking us to step out of our comfort zone, knowing that God is with us. And remembering what Marianne Robinson said, and perhaps that will help in the conversations. She suggests that fear dictates what is going on. And perhaps if we can ask intelligent questions with our beloved family about that fear and just listen, perhaps we can build a little bridge. And perhaps we can understand a bit more. You see, God is with us. The message that Joseph said, that God, whatever you intend for harm, God intends for good, is our message today. And so I invite you to go forth thinking about building bridges over the next couple weeks and what that might look like. God calls each of us into this space and time to be bridge builders in messy families. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.